Amen. Please be seated. Whew. I was looking through a really old file this week and saw a story I hadn't thought about in a long time. It's back when I was doing campus ministry at the University of Alabama, and every fall they have what's called Get On Board Days. That's the day where every campus organization you can sign up for. So we had set a table up there and it had gone well, and I decided to go to all the different religious organizations and sort of see what they were doing. And I picked up this little flyer, and it made me laugh then, and it still makes me laugh now. Listen to what this church said. "We welcome you to Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama. We warmly invite you to our church." So far, good. Here we go. "We have a place for you to serve or get lost in." Can you imagine a church saying, "We're okay with you getting lost"? "You can be a part of our church or just attend. We hope you become a part of us. We look forward to ministering to you." I wanted to add, "We look forward to ministering to you or not ministering to you, okay?" "God bless you." And I thought, man, that's crazy. They couldn't have meant that. But I got back to my office and I called and got the preacher, and he said, "No, we meant every word of it." Guys, the good news for you and I this morning is that you are not a part of a church where we're okay with you just attending. We're not okay with you just going into the walls. You see, what we are here today is to be active, to make a decision of how we're not just going to attend, we are going to serve in our church. Now, why that's good news is because of the following statement that you know to be true. Being active is critical for your physical, mental, and spiritual health. Did you write that down? Being active is critical for your physical, mental, and spiritual health. We know that. We know that if you were to exercise just 3 times a week, 30 minutes, you would add years to your life. When it comes to your mental health, if you want to try your best to put off Alzheimer's, if you'll just work some puzzles, read some books, even be active in riding a bike, we know that that can help. And spiritually, our Lord Jesus said, if you want to be great, you become the servant of all. His brother James said, when your faith is combined with works, that's when you grow to be complete and mature. And so we make no apologies today saying this church can be a blessing to you if you will plug in and be active in the work of this church. And so today we're going to look at a man who is completely unexpected to be the guy to step up and to be active. And my prayer today is there will be someone in this audience who just is so unexpected, but you would become a great leader in this church. If you have your Bible, go to Luke chapter 10. Let me sort of set the story up. There was this expert religious guy that came to Jesus, asked a very important question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus turned the question back to him and said, "You're the expert. You know the law. Tell me." And the guy hit a home run. He said, "You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus says, bingo, you got it right. But there was something about this guy who needed to dig deeper. I think there was something maybe even guilty in him that needed some specifics. So he said, "Okay, Jesus, I'm glad I got it right, but tell me who my neighbor is. Who do I have to serve?" And then Jesus gave this parable that you and I are so familiar with and yet can serve as a template for what we're talking about today. Go to Luke chapter 10. Let's start the parable in verse 30. "In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho." Now understand, that's a 17-mile journey. It's extremely hilly, lots of corners, lots of in and outs, extremely dangerous. Not surprising for a man to be robbed in that situation. And so when he was attacked by the robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. That's not a good condition. And then, here we go, the guy you would expect to be the hero, the mega religious guy, a priest, happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Now, not unusual for priests to travel Jericho to Jerusalem. What we know from history is there were about 12,000 priests in Jericho who often traveled to Jerusalem when their name came up to serve in the temple. But this guy is so busy doing his religious stuff that he avoids the guy that's in trouble. And then his assistant, the Levite. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, oh my goodness, he passed by on the other side. And now Jesus throws the bomb in the middle of the story. This Samaritan, this half-breed, this person who should not have anything according to Jews to do with God. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he brought the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, and he gave them to the innkeeper. Looked after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you have. And then Jesus throws the zinger in. Which of these three do you think was this neighbor you asked about, this neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, he's cornered, the one who had mercy on him. Do you notice? He can't even say the word Samaritan. It's just the one who had mercy on him. And then Jesus said, go and do likewise. You see, what we're hearing from Jesus today is, the New Century Translation says, at the end of the story, he says, go and do what he did. He says to the man, you've got your answer to the question. Get on with it. So how do we imitate this good Samaritan and do what he did? Let me give you 5 points if you're going to be active. Number one is you must be reactive. We normally think of reactive as being a bad thing. But in this context, to react to a man in pain is a good thing. That's the problem with the priest and the Levite. Despite their religious credentials, they didn't even notice the guy hurting. You see, when we get in trouble is when we stop feeling. Remember our definition of that word used there, compassion, last week? It's your pain in my heart. I can empathize. I can feel what you're going through. The danger zone for you and me is the moment I don't. I remember that writer a couple years ago who said, I'm so scared because it finally happened to me. What was it? There was another school shooting, and the writer says, I heard about it, and it didn't affect me. We've had so many school shootings that it comes up on the news, and we don't react. And so, guys, the start of your and my service is when we look out in our culture, and we don't just complain, we react. We have compassion. We see where our nation's going, and we go, oh, we don't like this. Well, what are you going to do about it? We often complain about some of the things going on in our very city. That's okay. But what will you do about it? Will you feel it enough to move into action and not just complain? When we see the breakdown of the family all around us, and we have many people coming here hurting because they're single moms or single dads, and their family has fallen apart, they got children to raise, does it touch us? Do I say, I want to be a part of helping them? When the guy or the woman comes here trying to overcome their drugs, do we go, you know what? We're going to jump in and walk beside them so that they can get over this addiction. It all starts when we're reactive. Now, number two is very key also. We must be proactive. I mean, listen to everything that man did, that Samaritan man. He bandaged his wounds. He poured oil and wine on it. He put him on his donkey, took him to the inn, took care of him, and when he had to go, he paid the innkeeper to take care of him until he came back. He saw a need, and he acted. And my friends, what's needed among us, I believe, more than anything else today, is we need some proactive disciples in this church who see a need. You don't wait. You're not asking for permission. You don't have to have a staff person initiate it. You don't have to go to the elders for permission. You just see something going on, and you're the person that's go, you know what? We're going to make a difference. That's why I love the example I gave last week of Brian Davis. Who you know what? Our men need to have better relationships. All of us that work downtown, let's start meeting once a month for lunch. That's why I love what happened in Love the City yesterday. An idea that Jim and Jill Sanderson brought to us from one of the churches they've been with when they left here. Of people who just show up in a Walmart parking lot with a sign, need prayer, and just pray with people on the spot. And yesterday, dozens of people were prayed about because some of our people took that idea and ran with it. We need people that initiate and that are proactive. I know we can do it because I see us do it in all kinds of other areas of our life. What really bothers me is I see some of you that are so proactive in work, you're a leader in your workplace. I mean, you know, your philosophy is, man, I'm going to do everything and I'm going to do it well. Praise God for that. Could you transfer that to the body of Christ? Some of you in school, you know, man, you're leaders at school. You're proactive on your team. You're proactive in academics. Could you take that and transfer that to what's even more important, which is the family of God? You see, so often we give it all in other areas, but somehow the church gets shafted. I hope you're okay with that word. It gets shafted. It's the first thing that I'm willing to cut out of my schedule when things get busy. Now, we all can do it. For instance, next week there's a really big football game coming up, the Alabama-LSU game, all right? Now, if one of y'all would give me a couple tickets, what do you think I'd do? Well, I tell you what I'd do. I don't know what we got scheduled next Saturday, but I can rearrange it, okay? I am willing to rearrange about anything because I would love to be at that game. That would be so much fun. So that's also a blatant hint, okay? I would love to be there. Now, the question for me is, would I do the same thing for something at church? Now, maybe football's not your thing. What is it when someone throws it in your lap, you go to the furthest means to make sure it happens? You'll rearrange your schedule, you'll change your time, and you're also, man, you're going to show up. You see, here's what I'm saying. And so often, I'm willing, you're willing to do it in other areas of our life, but when Love the City comes up, that's an easy thing for me to push off. When my small group is needing to meet and things get too busy, I can push that off. And what I'm saying to you and I today, what is that thing for you? And could you transfer the energy that you put into something unimportant like I do into football onto something that actually is going to make an eternal difference? Would you be willing ever to say no to that thing that you drop everything to do and be able to say no to that so that you could say yes to something that's really, really important? So we give it our all. We do that for the kingdom of God. Let me say this real clearly. This is the difference between a good deacon and a mediocre deacon. This is the difference between a good shepherd and a mediocre shepherd. This is the difference between a good ministry leader and a mediocre ministry leader. This is the difference between a good minister and a mediocre minister. This is the difference between a good small group leader and a mediocre small group leader. Will you be proactive? Are you willing to say, you know what? I'm not going to wait for Dan to get me. I'm not waiting for Buddy to call me. This is the ministry, the group I've been given. I'm telling you, man, I'm going to give it my best because this really counts. So we need to be proactive. And then number three, he goes right along with this. We need to be cooperative. This guy knew he could not do it on his own. He had to bring the innkeeper in. Now listen to this. Jesus always sent people out, God did, by two. Now, we talk in our culture, and I've even preached this sermon, I think to a point it's true. We talk about the power of one. The power of one man, one woman, taking a stand and getting it done. And that's powerful. But that's not what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about the power of two. What happens when two go out? What happens when two cooperate? Because here's the deal. When we sign up, and we show up and we do things together, great things can happen. I love this old African proverb. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. It's a lot easier to go alone and me just do my thing. It's a lot more healthy and powerful when we come together and say, you know what? I could have gone and done this on my own. But together, what can we do? I mean, just this past week, guys, we've had proof positive of what we can do when we get together as a church to do something great. I mean, Wednesday night, trunk or treat was amazing. Despite the fact it was raining, despite the fact almost in just a few hours we had to move everything from outside to indoors. I mean, we were able to come together. People changed what they did. And we served our neighborhood in a beautiful way and made some great connections. It was just such a beautiful scene, as packed as it was to be in that Life Center. And yes, yesterday, over 100 of you came together to go and love our city. And you went down to an impoverished area of our city, and you threw a big fair, and you went around, and you prayed with people, and you cut grass, and you did great things. Some of you had those prayer stations in those parking lots. Our college students went out, and they served. And together, we did what we could never do alone. And I thank you for that. You see, when we begin to cooperate, then great things can happen. And guys, that's one of our challenges as a church, okay? I'm really excited about what you're going to do in a few minutes. And you need to check those boxes and you need to sign up. But here's the really cool, crazy next step. Show up. Isn't that radical? Don't just sign up. I mean, show up. I remember a lady coming through Landmark 101 about a year ago, and I was talking about this. I said, you know, we got a great church, a lot of good things going on, but sometimes we're sort of immature. I mean, we do have a problem with people signing up to work in the nursery or teach a children's class and not showing up. And, you know, we're just looking for some mature people. And if you could do that, you'll be very popular in this church. And I remember this lady just started laughing. And I said, what's going on with you? She said, even before I become a member, I've been serving in the nursery on Wednesday nights. And when I walk in the nursery, all those ladies hug me and celebrate that I'm there. She said, now I understand. And I'm telling you guys, if you and I will sign up, show up, and work together, we can go a lot further than we could ever go by ourselves. Number four, we must be attractive. I love that we label this story with two words nobody, no Jew would have ever put together, the Good Samaritan. And I love when you study Greek language. It's so much richer than our language often. There are two different Greek words for good, okay? One is good in the sense of righteous and austere and almost condescending. It's a kind of good that you run from, okay? You ever know someone that was just really righteous and holy and all those things, but you just really didn't find anything enjoyable about being around them? That's one kind of good. The other Greek word for good is an attractive goodness. It's a goodness that pulls you around. Yes, you're around this person, and they're much better than you are, but they don't make you feel guilty. I mean, they pull you in. And my friends, listen to me. That's what happens when we get together and we serve. There's an attraction. You know this, and I know this. We live in a culture much different than what many of us grew up in. Christianity is not the popular thing. In fact, it's looked down upon. Despite the fact Christianity is growing in every other area of our world at a faster rate than any other religion, in North America and Europe, it is shrinking quickly. So how do we attract people? I'm telling you what's going to attract them. When we're out doing the work that nobody else wants to do, when we care about that underprivileged neighbor, when we care about that orphan, when we care about the person struggling with their sexuality, when we care about the people that are struggling with drug use. You see, I'll never forget, a few years ago, there was a writer for the Washington Times, and he had been sent on an assignment to see what happened in New Orleans after Katrina. And so he shows up and he studies it, and he has to go back to London and write this long article. And there's a part of it he admittedly didn't want to put in there because he was agnostic. But here's what he said. The people that showed up to feed the food, the people who showed up to love on people, the people who showed up to rebuild the houses, the people that put New Orleans back together were Christians. It wasn't the atheist clubs. It wasn't the Lions clubs. It was the people who followed Jesus Christ. And my friend, as we come together, to be that attractive force. That's when barriers come down so that we can share the gospel. So we're coming up on the time right now where we get to do this. So I want to ask the men if they would come and pass out these wonderful Faith Works forms. Now, let me say, I'm going to finish my message while they're doing this. And honestly, what I'm about to say to me is the most important thing that needs to be said at this church. So, I really believe in you guys. I believe we can do two things at one time. How about it? I believe we can pass these forms out and you can listen to me at the same time and something good can happen. Because this last point is what's going to keep us moving. And the last point is simply be reproductive. What Jesus said at the end of this story is, okay, man, you've seen it in this Samaritan. You need to go and reproduce that. You need to go and do likewise. Come on down, guys. Start giving those out there listening. They probably won't pay attention to you. But just go ahead and be reproductive. You see, here's the challenge. Christianity is always one generation away from extinction. There are statistics out there about different denominations, including the Church of Christ, that say in 20 or 30 years, it will not exist because of the way the numbers are going. And so we are in charge of whether this thing becomes extinct or not. That's why even Jesus, when he lived on this earth, he talked to the crowds, but he devoted himself to a small group of disciples because he knew they were the one that could go and replicate what he did. That's why the Apostle Paul says, the things you've learned, the things you've received, the things you've heard, the things you've seen in me, would you go do it again? In fact, Paul is so bold to say what most of us need to say but wouldn't say. Would you guys follow me as I follow Jesus? I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. But I'm telling you one thing that's no negotiation in my life about. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. In this church, for us to continue to flourish, we must reproduce ourselves. I mean, I just think about some people, and I'm not going to name everybody I want to name. So don't be offended if I don't name you. But do you know, you probably don't because they're not up front, what Mike Talley and Kent Olison do every Sunday? I mean, they get here early, they keep everything moving smoothly so the rest of us don't have to pay attention to it. Now, those guys get tired. Who are we going to train to take their place? We've highlighted our RSVP ministry over the last few months. Could you stop with me a second and be a little alarmed? What's going to happen when Ed and Barbara Bice decide their time in that is over? My challenge is that Ed and Barbara must train someone. Tommy Bone has been counting in this church since the old building. Who's going to count when Tommy Bone doesn't want to do it alone? Al and Candy Crosby have this incredible ministry. All of you talk about, all of our children have been blessed by Blue Flame. But who's going to be trained to take Al and Candy's place? Who, if you're a life group leader, an ABC group leader, who are you training to be to take your place? If you're the preacher, who are you training to take your place? If you're Ed Starkey and you do coffee by yourself every Sunday, what happens if Ed needs to be gone? What happens if Rob McFarlane's not there to teach a class? What I'm telling you is Rob McFarlane must train someone to teach the way he does. We have so many great teachers. Man, I was just in an awesome class with Bobby Reese and Trey Hayes. Who are they getting trained to take their place? I mean, I think about Jeff Arrington. I think about so many people in this church who are Lane Kill. So many people in this church. I could go on and on and on. We've got fantastic. Paul Evans is one of our best teachers. We got all these great teachers. That's why you guys really baffle me why you don't come to Sunday school. That's pretty sweet, wasn't it? It really baffles me, okay? Because it's something so good going. You guys can smile a moment and not just look so guilty, even though you're guilty. You can just go ahead and smile. Because, guys, we got it going. But who's going to keep it going? I can look back, guys. I've been here 23 years. We have not always had this level of Sunday school teacher. God's blessed us. And who's going to replicate themselves in the ministry that you lead? Not only to be a good ministry leader, must you be proactive, but you also need to be proactive in training your replacement. So that's when it becomes really cool. So can I ask you this question before you start filling out this sheet, and Dan's going to lead you through this. Are you active? I'm asking you, by any stretch of the imagination, can you claim, I know many of you can, to be an active member of this church? Now, if you're our guest today, I'm not pushing on you, okay? If you're just checking us out, good for you. But if you're a member of this church, I make no apologies that we don't have a place for you just to fit in. We don't have a place for you just to veg out. We don't have a place for you not to serve. If you're a young Christian, we used to think, well, let them be a Christian for 6 months and then we'll get them working. No, the best way to help them mature is to get them active. The best way to help you, if you've gotten stuck in your spiritual life, is for you to re-engage in action for God. So this is what's so exciting about today. And this is why we don't apologize about today, because what we're asking you to do is absolutely the best thing for you. It's going to help you overcome your natural selfishness, me too. It's going to help you be molded into the image of Jesus. It's going to help you get your priorities where they ought to be, where you're willing to drop the things that don't matter and take up the things that do matter. So here's our challenge as you listen, as you fill this out. Let's be active. We get a brand new slate. That's what's so cool. If you didn't do anything this year, it's a brand new slate in 2020. Follow along and step up and be proactive. Thank you so much for the outpouring. Guys, if we could stack those up here, we're going to pray over them. But if for some reason you're still filling yours out or hadn't got there or need to ask some questions, our Connections Minister Dan Burgess is going to be at the information center as soon as we're over, and he'll be there to take your form if you hadn't filled it out or to answer any questions about any ministry that you might be interested in. I want you just for a moment, though, to go back to Luke chapter 10 with me, because it's such a great picture there. Because understand that the Gospels aren't always in chronological order, that the writer will put a couple stories together because he's trying to make a point. And in the chapter, the end of the chapter, where he puts the story of the Good Samaritan, he couples it, you can see, with that sweet story of Mary and Martha. The story of the Good Samaritan says to us, you need to go and do. The story of Mary and Martha says, there are times where you need to sit and listen. You see, in that story of Mary and Martha that follows, Jesus comes to their home, and Mary goes in the den and sits down at Jesus' feet and just listens to him. And Martha's in the kitchen trying to get everything ready, and she is royally perturbed with Mary for not helping and for Jesus for not letting her, not pushing her to help. And so she walks into the room and says, not even to Mary, Jesus, would you tell her to help me? In other words, you're letting her goof off with you when she needs to be working with me. And Jesus says to Martha, 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 you are so worried and uptight about so many things, but there is only one thing that really matters, and Mary has chosen it, and it can never be taken away from her. What's Mary doing? She's spending time with Jesus. So before you walk out of here, I want to make this point. It is possible to be overactive in this church, okay? Don't be overactive. What we don't want you to do is get so busy in this church doing so many things that you neglect your relationship with God. Because that's what counts. It's your relationship with God. You see, and everything in our life, including our service, should flow out of that relationship with Jesus Christ. Why do we want to serve? Because he served us. Why do we want to give generously? Because he gave everything for us. And it flows out of that. The moments where you're going to get burnt out in ministry is when you're doing it without the relationship with Jesus, right? And you're just doing things and doing things. So, I make no apologies. If I need to skip a football game to serve Jesus, or you need to skip a golf match, or you need not to veg out on Netflix half the day on Saturday, or if you need to not surf social media so much, there's no apologies for that, man. If we got to give that up for Jesus, it's okay to miss out on those things. But what you cannot miss out on, what I cannot miss out on, is my time with Jesus. So I challenge you today. Some of you need to be challenged by the story of the Good Samaritan. It's time you got up and you did something and you were active. It'll change your life. Some of us, we've been so active that our relationship with Jesus is suffering, and you could use some prayers today about that relationship. Maybe you need prayers today because you've been inactive and it's affected you spiritually, or maybe you need prayers today because you've been overactive. Here's what I want to say to you. You're part of a church that's not okay with you being inactive. And neither are we okay with you walking through this life and even serving our ministries out of a place of dryness instead of a place with Jesus. So today, if you need to respond to this invitation in either direction, if you need the prayers of this church before you walk out of here, come right now while we stand and sing.